Welcome again to A Strong Tower Radio's presentation, A Thoughtful Hour. I'm Pastor Garrett Morgan here with my friend David.
David Bolduc from Strong Tower Radio.
And like we say before every program, we were really inspired to talk about, you know, the final hours of the life of Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, the Word of God inspires that. But this book, Desire of Ages, that gives us the encouragement to spend a thoughtful hour every day thinking about the life of Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just beautiful because if you look at the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I've been reading through Luke, and we were just sharing off mic some of the things that just like, I can't believe it, that's in there. But if you take the sum total of chapters in those four Gospels and you look at the ones that are dedicated to the Passion Week, a third of the chapters are dedicated to that time. So it's very important. And folks, if you don't have a copy of Desire of Ages, contact us here at Strong Tower Radio. We'll get you a copy, 231-468-2087. Or if you can't do email or phone or whatever, P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601.
Wonderful. So take us up on that, right?
Yeah, please. Love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, okay, so we just left Jesus in a place of being crushed.
Yeah, Gethsemane.
Gethsemane. Wow. And, you know, it's interesting in Revelation chapter, because this is where Jesus takes upon the sin of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that on the cross. And in Revelation 1, it gives the description of Jesus where it talks about his hair being white like wool, right?
Imagine
and
that.
That's... eyes of fire,
yeah.
The sword coming out of his mouth representing the word of God. And it's interesting, it said his feet are like melted bronze,
mm-hmm.
like in that state of liquid bronze.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because bronze in the Bible is often looked at as a symbol or residue of sin.
Okay.
And what that means in Revelation 1 is that because Christ's feet are bronze, it means that he walked an earth that was full of sin.
Oh, wow.
And comparing that to the serpent in the wilderness mm-hmm. that was lifted up on a pole.
Yeah.
And just look to the serpent and be saved.
Yeah.
It's funny to think about that the serpent that was bronze in the wilderness was a representation of Jesus.
But you know, a serpent on a pole means the shepherd won.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that a cool symbol? I love that. So Jesus here is drinking of that cup,
mm-hmm.
that he's being made sin for us.
Yeah.
And what a terrible
And you know, going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Yes.
He will bruise your heel, but you will bruise his head or
crush his head.
Christ's heel is being bruised here in Gethsemane, but Satan's head is going to be crushed on Friday evening.
Satan knows that the war is about ready to be lost.
Yeah.
And so he's given it everything he's got.
Oh, everything. There was no vacation time for the demons that day.
No.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure the rest of humanity may have even gotten a break for a few days.
Yeah, unfortunately, wouldn't that be a blessing?
Yeah, I mean, all the forces of evil are coming at our Savior.
And they were all descending on Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is when everything is hanging in the balance here. And so Jesus is here. He's drank of that cup because it's the will of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's agonizing in prayer because he knows he needs to be prepared. The angel of mercy, we call it, actually prolongs the agony.
You know, it's just unfortunate, but yet that's what needed to be done.
Yeah. It needed to be made that spectacle,
yeah.
Right? And so the disciples are the opposite of this. They're told to pray and they begin, but now they're sleeping.
They're just kicking along thinking, you know, this is going to be Passover. We're going to be here for a week. Then we're going to go out and do another missionary trip, whatever. And
yeah.
And life's just going to go on.
Business as usual.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, we were talking off mic, again, just reminding our listeners what had happened on Palm Sunday just a few days prior, right?
Yeah.
All of Jerusalem wanted to be next to Jesus.
Oh,
this
yeah,
was the man.
Yeah, he was the man that he wanted to be with him. Everybody knew who he was.
Exactly. And so the disciples are waiting for him to set up his earthly kingdom, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus here tries to tell them multiple times, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And Peter, of course, says, no,
no
I'll
not
die
you.
For you.
You don't know what you're talking about, Lord.
Exactly.
The creator of the heavens and the universe. Nope.
You're going to deny me. So anyway, Jesus comes back twice to wake up the disciples. And the third time, he says in Matthew 26:45, sleep on now.
Yeah.
Right? Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then verse 46, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me.
Yeah.
So you find Judas here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love how 47, and while he yet spoke, so like while Jesus is in mid-sentence,
yeah,
you can see the mob beginning to approach this group. That's incredible.
It
in
is,
and, of
and because this is all at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't in the afternoon where, you know, the nice sun is warm and everything. It's a cold, you know, April evening, but actually it hadn't even hit midnight yet.
No, not quite.
So it was somewhere between sunset and midnight. All this is going on. Jesus has been praying for hours up there.
Yep.
And all the time Judas is running around getting all of his group together and getting his pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come up the hill and Jesus says, here they come.
Right.
And the disciples are like, what?
Exactly.
You know, that sense you get when somebody wakes you up and you're like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. The kind of a confused, the cobwebs are in the head.
Yeah.
Right. And it's funny because Jesus knew this was going to happen. He could have very easily continued down the road and probably have gotten away.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But he knows this is the time.
Yeah.
This is the end of the... Well, not the end, but this is the 70-week prophecy.
Yeah.
The Messiah needs to be cut off.
Daniel chapter 9.
Daniel 9. It's about time for the sacrificial lamb to be killed. I've been among the people.
And the devils and the demons, and all, they're all screaming at him, leave. You know, like you said, he could have walked on down the road and just leave.
Get out of here.
These people aren't worth it. Just go back to your father.
Exactly. Exactly. Why would you go through this for them?
Yeah.
And so Jesus here, after Gethsemane, you can tell, all right, he's been strengthened, he knows this is his father's will, and he is not backing down at this point. You do not see any wavering or even question
in Jesus. There's always that side of Christ that people try to portray, gentle Jesus, meek and mild and all stuff. Mm-hmm. This isn't here.
No, this is a determined champion.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, in Revelation, we talked about this a few episodes ago, but the Bible says that we should follow the Lamb wherever he leads us.
Right.
And sometimes it may be that Jesus will lead you into your own Gethsemane experience. Mm-hmm. And we can't even relate or even comprehend what Jesus went to in Gethsemane. We're talking about a trial.
Right.
A time of testing, a time of trouble. And that can enhance our spiritual journey, and it can break us.
Yeah, it'll take us either way. It just depends whose will is dominant. Thy will, Father, or my will?
Exactly. You kind of see that with, I would say that John the Baptist's Gethsemane experience was in prison before he was killed.
And you know, he wavered at one point. He
did.
Because his disciples, the stories they kept telling him, he's like, you know, I don't know now. And
right.
So he says, go ask Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, I'll take John's question, but you watch me for a little bit, and then you go back and tell him what you've seen.
Tell him what you see.
And then John hears that story. He's like, no question now. He's the one.
Exactly. And so whether it's, I mean, I remember a few years ago, well, it's been more than a few years now, but I had just gone to Bible worker school. It was my first job at a church. I wasn't a pastor. I was a Bible worker.
Okay.
And that was the hardest year of my life. I mean, it broke me. I was down in Alabama, and I call that my Gethsemane experience.
Really?
Because I was pretty full of myself going into that job because I was armed with biblical knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I had training. I thought I had the people skills that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that year was hard. I just kept getting beaten down time and time again. Wow. That was the best thing that could happen to me.
Really?
And it may be that some of our listeners are going through that Gethsemane experience right now. But you don't have to walk through that alone.
No, you don't.
Jesus knows. Jesus is there.
Yeah, he's been there. He's walked that path.
Absolutely. So Jesus is waking his disciples. But in mid-sentence, the mob is there and Judas is leading them.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew 26:48, we see what Judas does. It says, now he that betrayed him, Judas, gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. I find it interesting that he calls Jesus Master.
Yeah.
And that would have been a very common greeting back in that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was culturally acceptable, in fact, even encouraged when you see a friend that you're close to have that kiss on the cheek, right?
Okay.
Which we see in Europe still sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's significant that Judas betrays Jesus with an act of, like, pleasantness.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever you read the word worship or something like that, one of the definitions for worship is like a dog licking the master's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Submission.
Mm-hmm.
Judas walks up to Christ, even though he just told behind Christ's back, the one I kiss is the one you need to arrest. So he comes up to Jesus and he kisses him in submission to the master. And that's the sign. And Jesus says, betrayest thou thy master with a kiss?
Yeah. And you brought up a good question off mic. Didn't they know who Jesus was?
He was coming down the mount on Palm Sunday.
Right.
On the donkey. He's cursed the tree. They may not have seen that, but he was in the temple. He cleansed the temple.
Yeah.
Somebody recognized him there. The rest of that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he was teaching in the temple. Somebody should have recognized him, especially the religious leaders. Now, okay, give them the credit. Maybe it's night, but they've got torches. The Bible describes that.
Yeah.
So probably somebody recognized him, but, you know, like the point of it really is, were they listening to what he said about his father?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they so much about themselves that they just kind of like blew him off and like,
whatever.
And so they treat him like a common thief. And so Judas is kind of in that, hey, look at me. It's all about me because I'm the one that's going to straighten Jesus out.
I'll speed up this process, right?
Yeah.
And I love how Jesus greets it. You referenced it already, but in verse 50 of Matthew 26, Jesus answers with the word friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you come?
Yeah.
He knows that Judas is in the midst of betraying him, but he still calls him friend.
And you know, this is another fulfillment of prophecy because going back into Psalms, there's times where even like Psalms 22, one's powerful right there through the whole crucifixion. But leading up to that, there are different times where and Jesus even said, you know, you're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter.
Mm-hmm.
This is going on. This is a fulfillment of prophecy.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting, and we were talking again about this off mic, Jesus here has not just gone through Gethsemane, but he's been betrayed by one of his 12.
Mm-hmm.
He's being betrayed by his nation, his country, his religion, and his disciples are about ready to scatter.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen this as a pastor anyway, and maybe some of our listeners will relate to this, but you know, when someone dedicates their life to Jesus and they come to him and they start living a different lifestyle and following what Jesus wants them to do, it happens sometimes, sadly, where this new lifestyle is not accepted by their friends and even their family sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they feel very alone and betrayed. They're following Jesus now. Where did my friends go?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, where did my family go? I'm in this new church now, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really know anybody. And they feel very alone.
Yeah, that happened to my dad because his family was a different faith. And he was told, you're going to go crazy if you read the Bible. That's just what his church that his family attended told him. If you read the scripture, you will go crazy. And he's like, no, I'm not going to go crazy. And he started studying and reading. And he's like, this makes sense.
Right.
And so his family's like, okay, we're stepping back. And so over time, they were able to reconnect. But just that initial time period where you feel completely alone because your family has walked away from you because they feel you've walked away from their tradition.
Yeah. And so if you're feeling that today, friends, Jesus has gone through something even worse. He's been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he will never betray you.
No.
And there are others out there that will stick next to you like those, even better than your old acquaintances.
Yes.
So keep following Jesus, even in the midst of not just Gethsemane, but being betrayed as well.
And there's a song that says, never alone.
Mm.
You're never alone.
Absolutely. You're never alone. Well, we're out of time today, friends, but thank you so much for listening to Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed, and we'll see you next time on A Thoughtful Hour.